guesses and the first two don't count. We're still in Genesis, and we'll be here for a while. Now, we just finished a mini-series within the Genesis series on Islam, and if I say so myself, it was pretty good. You can catch up on missed episodes on our YouTube channel. But now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. It takes faith to be a Christian, but it takes a little bit more faith to be a Christian parent. It takes a lot of faith to raise kids, especially in our world as it is today. Can we trust God with our kids? Our heads say yes, but our hearts say, maybe. It's one thing to have faith for yourself. It's another thing to have faith for your child. And Abraham is going to give us a little lesson on this topic. Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." After a couple of decades of smooth sailing, God is going to test Abraham's faith. Test also means prove. God's going to say to Abraham, "Prove it. Prove your faith." In order to prove he has faith in God, he's going to have to pass a difficult test. This was not a test to produce faith. It was a test to reveal faith. God had built Abraham up slowly, piece by piece, year by year, into a man of faith. This test would reveal how much of the faith God built into Abraham actually stuck. Genesis 22:2. God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Here's poor Abraham. He has waited years for the birth of his son. And now that his son is mostly grown, God tells him to murder him. Yeah, this is a real head scratcher. Next verse. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. Abraham doesn't question anything. He doesn't rebel. He just gets right to it. It's a three-day journey from where he is to the mountain, which is about 50 miles. And that's a lot of time to think about what you're about to do. Now verses 4 through 8. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went together. They went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Good question, Isaac. Now verses 8 through 10. Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Didn't Abraham love his boy with all of his heart? And thankfully, help is on the way. Verses 11 through 18. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said until this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." And this is the very last time the Bible records God speaking out loud to Abraham. Now, many believe that Isaac was a teenager or a young adult at this time, and I think he could have been anywhere from 16 to 18 years old. Abraham is well over 100. Now, Jim and I raised three boys, and I can't imagine what I would say if God told me to kill one of them. I love them. They're part of me. To have one of them killed would be to kill me too. There is not a high percent chance that I would have contemplated God's request. Don't get me wrong, I love the Lord. He's been good to me. He's blessed me more than I deserve. And I do try my dead level best to do what he wants me to do. But the thought of harming one of my children, well, I'm pretty sure I don't have that level of faith. I'm more willing to die for one of my children than the other way around. To me, this is the most bewildering moment in biblical history. God had previously told the people in Leviticus 19 and 20 that they were forbidden from sacrificing their children. It was a disgusting, pagan, demonic practice, and they were to have no part in it. Now here's God telling Abraham to do one of the most forbidden acts in the Old Testament. Why? The short answer is, God was never, ever really going to let Abraham kill Isaac. It was a test. It's kind of like that first Tuesday morning of each month at 10 o'clock when the tornado siren goes off here in Rockford. There isn't a tornado. It's a test. Just like there really isn't going to be a tornado, there really wasn't going to be a human sacrifice. And I think Abraham had an inkling that something was going to happen to save him from having to follow through, because he tells Isaac this: "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." God needed to know if he has Abraham's unquestioning loyalty. Abraham needed to pass this test because he was supposed to be the father of the faithful. Well, you can't be the father of the faithful if you don't have a big faith. You can't be the father of the faithful if you don't set the example of unflinching obedience to God. And if you don't like any of these answers, and I'll admit I'm pretty unsettled by it, you'll have to wait till you get to heaven and ask God. Now, true or false? Isaac knew what was about to happen. True. How could he not? His dad carts him up a mountain, makes him carry the firewood, ties him up, and puts him on top of the altar. He's got Abraham has a match in one hand and a huge knife in the other. Yes, Isaac knew what was going to happen. It's probably a good thing they left mom at home, because she would have put the kibosh on the whole thing and nobody would have passed any test whatsoever. Now, true or false? A young buck like Isaac had the ability to fight off the old man. True. If you're over 100 and your son is in his late teens, he's going to take you down in a fight. My boys at that age could lift me up, fling me over their shoulders, and fireman carry me out of the house and throw me in a dumpster. I couldn't have stopped them even if I wanted to, and I wasn't even half of Abraham's age. This is not just a big test for Abraham. It is also a big test for Isaac. Each man must have the faith to let go. Abraham must have the faith to let go of his son. Isaac must have the faith to let go of his life. This may be one of the most challenging aspects of our spiritual journey. In a world that teaches us to hold on tightly, to control, to possess, faith asks us to release our grip and trust God. I find myself hanging on to things that God is asking me to let go of. We all find ourselves trusting in things rather than God. It's like that little kid with the dollar store floaties in the ocean. He thinks those floaties are going to keep him safe. He trusts them. He doesn't need God. He has floaties. So he hangs on to those for dear life. Well, that might be okay until a storm brews up, and then all bets are off. In some ways, I become like that little kid, hanging on to stuff that can't be trusted, hanging on to things that I really should be giving to God. There is a profound spiritual paradox at work here. In letting go, we gain. In surrendering our will to God, we find true power. In releasing our grip, we make space for God's greater purposes. There is a price for hanging on to what we should let go of. Mark 8:35-37. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Maple trees have got to let go of their seeds so that more trees can grow. If maple trees said, "We're not letting go of our seeds. It took a lot of work to grow those. Those are our babies." Well, then the maple tree species would die out. In John 12:24, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Sometimes holding on leaves us with nothing, but letting go multiplies blessings and it grows the kingdom of God. As Abraham proves, faith can be pretty rough. As Abraham proves, faith can ask a lot from us. Faith asks us to release our control. It asks us to release our timing. It asks us to release our desired outcome. It asks us to hand trusted and treasured things over to God. When we find the courage to let go, we can count on the promise in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. A trapeze performer must let go of one bar to catch another. For a moment, they are suspended in midair. There is nothing under their feet, nothing to hold on to, until the next bar flows into their hand at just the right moment. If they hold on to the bar too long, they'll miss the opportunity to grab onto the next bar. If they let go too soon, they will fall. But when they let go at just the right moment, they will experience the exhilaration of flight. We have some decisions to make about this church. As you know, we have struggled with attendance and retention problems. And I believe that this church is at a crisis point. To speak bluntly, I believe we must do something different or we will die. As the saying goes, change or die. We're going to have a meeting right after church to discuss some options. And we're going to have lunch. And I hope each one of you will stay and listen and perhaps provide your input. I've been in the process of letting go of the hopes and dreams I've had for this place. Honestly, this church has been my baby for 20 years. Nearly everything I did for the last 20 years had something to do with this church. Nearly every thought revolved around this place and her people, and these people have become my family. But like Abraham, I have told God, if he asks me to, I will let go. Like Abraham, I am willing to put my baby on the altar. I'm not going to try to hold anything back from God. And I don't really know what that means yet. And Elena's going to pass out a little wooden cutout of a church to everyone here in the congregation. After Abraham put his son on the altar, God provided another sacrifice. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. It's only when we let go that we will see what God can do for us. When we let go, we will see that God will provide for us. He is our provider. a 17-year-old boy attempted to steal a can of pop from a vending machine at the trolley station in National City, California. He ended up getting his arm stuck in the receiving slot. Well, this brought on an onslaught of rescue teams, and they tried everything they could think of outside of totally destroying the machine, which the owner did not want. After about an hour, one of the firefighters finally figured out what to do. He leaned over to the boy and said, "Son, let go of the can." When the boy let go of the can, his arm slid right out. Do we have the courage to let go today? Do we have the courage to see what God will do instead of what we will do, what I will do? What will God do? What would God have done in this place? In a moment, the band is going to come, and we're going to sing this song. It's called All to You. It's a really old song, but I bet none of you have heard it before. It's a great song. And as we sing this song, I'm going to ask you to bring those little cutouts of that church, if it is in your heart, to put it on the altar and say, "God, we give you this church." Come to the altar and tell God you will give him this place.